time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
And welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast. I'm Jeff Kinley, and thank you so much for joining me today. I'm talking about the coming dark delusion that is going to sweep the earth, the planet, during the last days. And I want to talk more about that in this part two and wrap this thing up here. But, you know, I said last time that Satan is going to unleash this deluding influence. Actually, God's going to send it, but Satan is going to be the one that takes advantage of this big lie, this delusion. And he's going to do this through miracles, through signs, through wonders, and through just propagating the same old lie from the garden that you're going to be as gods. And that's really what he wants the world to know, is that you can be a god. You know, it's a sobering truth to really consider this coming delusion. We're seeing it happen right now, where people's minds are just marinating in untruths. They're marinating in lies, and they're embracing and accepting things that aren't, not only aren't true and aren't holy and aren't good, but things that aren't even real. Things that aren't even real. With the way that we're making up our own truth today, it's bizarre to think about it. We're just rewriting science. We're rewriting biology. We're rewriting truth. You know, during the Second World War, Joseph Goebbels, who was the minister of propaganda for Hitler's Nazi party, he famously said this. He said, quote, "If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie." Close quote. You know, seems like a lot of politicians are following Goebbels' advice. In other words, the bigger the lie you tell, the more people will eventually believe it, as long as you just keep repeating it. Repeat it like you believe it, and eventually people will believe it too, because people are swayed by powerful personalities. They're swayed by groupthink. They're swayed by what the populace accepts. And the more we accept some of these sins into our society, the more people, and people in the church, are going to embrace it, you know? So it may be hard to believe, you know, that people would just be dumb enough to do that, but it just further highlights the depths of our blindness and our depravity to which humanity is currently existing. A lie can be so blatantly shocking that it would at first appear truly unbelievable, but over time it can have the exact opposite effect. In fact, they'll love the lie. They'll embrace the lie. I mean, 50 years ago, if you or the president of the United States or the majority of the media or anyone boldly claimed that an unborn child wasn't really a human being, you would have been laughed at as some sort of ludicrous idiot and condemned by society as being morally reprehensible. And yet that lie has been repeated over and over again through the past decades, to the point where it's now embraced by a large percentage of politicians, radical feminists, lawyers, actors, and of course the media. And we now live in a culture where well over half, some 58% of Americans believe abortion should be legal. That's according to the Pew Forum. So that's a part of Satan's current big lie, his delusion. However, when you get into the tribulation period, the Antichrist is not going to have a lot of time on his side. So with his limited open window, he has to seize the moment. So he has to expedite the delusion by promoting Satan's boldest and most convincing miracle of all, in that he's going to be raised from the dead. And you have to ask yourself, are we seeing anything that Satan's doing right now that would tell us that we're leading up to the point where we would believe that someone could be raised from the dead? Well, let me give you a couple of scriptures here. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3 says this. It says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to, oh look, deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." What do deceitful spirits propagate? They propagate doctrines of demons. "By means of the hypocrisy," it says, "of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron." So he's saying that these people are believing these things. And the reason they're believing their own lies is because their conscience has been seared like with a hot poker, a hot branding iron. And you know this, when you burn yourself, it creates scar tissue. And that scar tissue many times is no longer possesses the sensitivity that your normal skin does. So it's numb. So when you touch it, you don't feel it like you do ordinary skin. The nerve endings have been burned off. They've been damaged. It's like they're calloused, you know? And that's what Paul is saying. Their consciences are calloused over. And when you present the truth to them, one of the reasons why they don't believe it is because they don't feel the truth, because their consciences are calloused. And so they reject you and they hate you for it, for telling them the truth, because they have a burned conscience. So while the Bible declares in Romans 1 and 2 that we're all born with conscience, over time, as we embrace things outside of the truth of Scripture, what happens is that we develop scar tissue. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. This is what the Bible is saying, okay? So that explains your universe to you. That explains your world to you. That explains your culture and your community and in the media. That explains what you see on, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all these things. That explains it. People have depraved hearts. We do too. But our consciences as Christians are cleansed and they're reborn so that we can use our conscience for good things and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and to what truth is. And part of our conscience helps us to be discerning as well. And the more we grow in Christ, the more discerning we become. But here, Paul says, in the latter days, deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons, liars, consciences that are dulled and seared as with a branding iron. Let me give you another scripture. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5 says, but realize this. Don't you love how Paul didn't just say it. He says, the Spirit explicitly says, he says, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self. Well, we're there, Paul. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. That means that they're just against what is good. Disobedient to parents. They're ungrateful. They hate what has been given to them by God. They hate the freedom, the very freedom that we get in this country. They hate and they speak out against our country for the wrong reasons. Haters of good, it says. Oh, excuse me, I skipped. Unloving, unholy, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal. Well, that's social media, isn't it? Haters of good. Mm-hmm. Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then he adds that some, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. I've got a whole other podcast on just the quote-unquote morality of depraved people, how they posture themselves as being more righteous than the Christians, being more righteous in their, not just in their behavior, because granted, some non-Christians are more righteous in their behavior than some Christians, but I'm talking about in their values, that their stances, that their principles are more honorable, and they hijack Christian values like compassion and love and tolerance and honor and bravery. They take these good human characteristics and they pervert them to make them mean something that they don't actually mean. So now you can be proud of your sin. Now you can be brave for coming out. No, there's nothing brave about that. There's no bravery. There's no courage whatsoever. It's only because you love your sin. Avoid such men as these. In other words, don't let those kind of people speak into your life, is what he's saying. You be the one speaking into their life, but you don't let them speak into your life. So that's a prophecy in 2 Timothy 3. And If you want to read that verses 1-5, I guarantee you, all you have to do is read that, then open your eyes and look around you in your culture and you go, well, here we are. How about 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1-3? It says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, Christian, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. You know what heresy is a false belief, a false interpretation about God's truth. It's a lie. It's a delusion. It says, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. That's called lies. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. In other words, they're going to face judgment. Let me give you one more section here. 2 Peter 3, verses 3-6. He says, know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, their own desires, and saying, quote, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation, end quote. They're going to mock the return of Jesus. And we see that happening even in the church today. People are laughing at the whole idea of the rapture. It says in verse 5, for when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the same word that prophesied is coming, by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. He's saying they forget that God, through his word, created the world. And if he can create the world and destroy the world through the flood, through by just his word, then certainly his word can bring Jesus back. That's kind of the point. But it says, but by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, not flood, but fire, kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. So there's a prophecy right there that they're going to be mockers. They're going to mock Bible prophecy, basically. Are we seeing that happen today? Of course we are. We're seeing it happen through the fact that many pastors are afraid to talk about Bible prophecy. And I list in my latest book, Uncovering the Secrets of Bible Prophecy, that there are 10 reasons why pastors do that. Many reasons, but I've listed 10. You know, part of it is they just don't want to be divisive. They don't want to divide the church because there's so many views on it and that kind of thing. Well, guess what? There are divisive views on many other doctrines in Scripture. But just ignore eschatology, to ignore the end times, just because there's difference of opinion or difference of interpretation is ridiculous. The pastor's job is to preach the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. You don't leave anything out. Anyway, that's just one reason. And another reason is because they themselves don't understand it. They haven't studied it. They don't know how to communicate it. And so they think that they're going to scare their congregations to death if they talk about Revelation. My goodness. Well, if you think scaring your congregation is some sort of motivation for not preaching the word, then you're going to have to leave a lot of the Bible out. But don't scare them by telling them in Luke 14, Jesus says, if you don't take up your cross and die to your own self, you can't be my disciple. That's scary too. But when you talk about Revelation, you get into some things that are very dark. And, you know, part of it is God's judgment, his wrath, his anger against humanity. And part of it is the depravity of humanity. We don't really believe we can get that bad. But the Bible says that humanity is going to shake their fist at God, reject God, blaspheme God and Jesus, and then continue on their own sin. So we see this mocking, we see these prophecies really in formation right now. We see them happening right now because in all probability, we are living in the end times. So what are we seeing? What else are we seeing in our culture? What are the types of delusion that Satan is using to deceive people today? Let me give you a couple of them as we close up this podcast. One is just all roads lead to God. All roads lead to God. Doesn't matter what religion you are, what name you use to refer to God. Heaven's a state of mind anyway. There's good in all religions, and thus they all have some sort of legitimate claim to have a path to heaven. And it reminds me of the old ancient Indian fable about the blind man and the elephant. you know, where the first blind man puts out his hand, touches the side of the elephant, and he says, oh, how smooth, the elephant's like a wall. The second blind man puts out his hand and touches the trunk, and he says, oh, it's like a snake. Third blind man touches the tusk, and he says, how sharp, an elephant's like a spear. Fourth blind man touches the leg of the elephant, and he says, how tall, the elephant's like a tree. The fifth blind man reaches out and touches the ear and says, the elephant's like a fan. And then the sixth and final blind man puts out his hand, touches the tail. He says, how thin, the elephant's like a rope. And so as the argument ensues, each blind man thinks his own interpretation of the elephant was the correct one. And so the explanation is the elephant is a big animal. Each man touched only one part. You must put all the parts together to find out what the elephant is like. And so they say each one of us only knows a part of God. To find the whole truth, we put all these parts together from all these different religions, and that's God. The only thing that this stupid parable illustrates, the fact that they're all blind. None of them were right. Not one of them were right. The elephant is not a rope. He's not a tree. He's not a wall. It's an elephant. And so God is God. So when the blinders are removed, you get to see who God really is through Scripture. So that's one thing, all roads lead to God. Second lie is that truth is subjective, not objective. In other words, there's no unchanging standard by which we can view and interpret reality or judge morality. We decide our own truth today. We are, in essence, gods. And we're seeing this today, obviously, with the gender and sexual identity issues. With women's rights to claim over their own bodies and with abortion. So it's, this goddess worship kind of thing that's happening in our world today. Truth is subjective. It's your truth, Oprah says. It's your truth. Oprah, no. It's God's truth. And your truth is nothing but a lie unless it lines up with God's truth. Another lie is that morality is malleable. In other words, that it's liquid, that it's fluid, and that we have to accept all people and their values and include all of them in the life of the church, because that's the loving and Christ-like thing to do, right? But is it? Who decides what moral values and standards are to be honored? Well, God does. And so when the world puts pressure on the church to accept everyone because morality is just malleable, it changes, then we're agreeing to a standard other than God's. And then here's one more here. It says the Bible is an outdated, ancient book and impractical for the modern world. And I spoke about the reliability and the credibility of the Scriptures in the previous podcast here recently. But in the world, they don't regard the Bible as being authoritative. They certainly don't regard the creation account as being accurate. So if you reject the first of the Bible, if part of it's wrong, then how do you know any of the rest of it is right? I mean, if God got it wrong with creation, how do we know God got it right with Jesus or with the resurrection or with anything else in the Bible? If we can't trust one part of the Bible, we can't trust any part of the Bible. And many mainstream denominations and evangelical churches today are beginning to drift from this. So all those above heresies I just mentioned are creeping into the church today. And I believe this is a direct result of the leadership in churches, leadership that are not convinced of Scripture's infallibility and its inerrancy, its unchanging authority. And that's exactly what Paul said to Timothy when he said, don't do this. In fact, he says, I wish I could read all these scriptures, so many in 2 Timothy that he says to him, there's so many great ones to choose from. He says, take pains with these truths that I've taught you. 1 Timothy 4:13-16. Take pains with them. He says, be absorbed in them so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, Timothy, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Listen, truth matters. Truth matters. And because we're under a cloud of delusion right now, more than ever, you and I need to be committed to sound doctrine and sound teaching and believing what the Bible says. It's the difference between eternal life and eternal death is really what it is. False teachers exist today, and they're not passive. They're aggressive, as I spoke about in a previous podcast. They're like those illusionists that trick you with their smiles and their effective communication skills. So, we can't even trust our own thoughts always. We desperately need God's unchanging truth to purify, to calibrate, and most of all, to transform our thinking so that we are thinking the thoughts God wants us to think. And that only happens as we immerse ourselves, as we bathe ourselves in the Word of God. That's God's vintage truth, my friend. And it's for you and me today. Hey, have a great week. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.